went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're at Suite 404 in Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, my suggestion would be to call my cell phone. It is the best way to get a hold of me. I will be the one answering the phone. The phone number for that is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Again, I'll be the one answering the phone. Please do not text me, as the phone does not receive texts. I personally don't like texting, and I'll never respond to you if you text me. If you are interested in doing the dialogue thing through texting type stuff, you can email me. I'll respond to your email. The email is docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And it's my pleasure to give you the understanding, to give you resources that you can use to help improve your health, pull your health out of the crapper, and get you on the path that God intended for all of us, which is to exercise our birthright to be healthy. And the guy that helps me do that each week, he's the gentleman in studio across from me. His name is Mark Sabin. He's the man behind the scenes who develops the material, comes up with the topics, and helps to elucidate clarity for you, the listener. And he does that to the best of his ability based upon the answers that I give. And we appreciate Mark immensely. And he helps me facilitate a relationship with you, the listener, so that we can just help you be healthy. And so we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Doc Rick. You know, it's hard to believe that we're wrapping up 2018 already. What would you like us to take away from this year?
I would say a stronger faith. Having faith in the fact that God has a plan for all of us as individuals and as a society, regardless of our differences, God's plan will be done, and we will get to both participate and witness the unfolding of how it unfolds. And like I said, his work will be done. So I would just like for all of us as a society to come together to know that we're all spiritual beings, that we all need to get along, and that God's will be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. I mean, it seems like we've had a lot of trouble in various areas of getting along. And as we've looked through the year, you know, some major shifts have happened around the world. And so what is the best way for us to cope with all these changes?
Embrace change. And I say embrace change because the word God, life, and change are all synonymous. And the sooner that we embrace that, the faster God's plan can unfold. And as I said in the first part, is it requires faith. Faith is believing in the unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And having the trust and the confidence and the security that it is an absolute, and our future is secured. But when we as a race of people try to get in the way of God's plan, that's what creates problems. If we would just let go and let God, I think we would have a lot better outcomes and life would be much more simplified.
Yeah, we would just stop resisting so much what's happening and being able to allow things to move forward.
Right.
So I mean, it is kind of easy to get overwhelmed with all the complexity. And, you know, I mean, we have all these technologies like computers and cell phones, and you don't take text, but the texting and all these different social media things were supposed to free up our time. But now it seems like the opposite is actually true.
And that's because the plan hasn't finished. We do not currently embrace the artificial intelligence, and so we do not take advantage of the new freedom artificial intelligence was created for our society. Imagine if we had everything for our survival done for us, Mark, like when we were children, and then we could all play like we used to. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Our society will allow for all of this to occur, and so it's important to appreciate that if we embrace the society, that the changes that are going on in society and the technology and all of that goes along with it, it will free up more time, and it will allow for all of us to have time to do the things that make our heart content, and we won't have to work so hard. And I think that'll be important for all of us.
I think that would be really important. I mean, because it seems like the impact of social media and these time-consuming apps are actually causing people to become more isolated and not less.
And in some regards, that's true. And if we're ever going to break out of the slumber our society is in, we need to isolate ourselves so that we can do the work required to access our higher selves. So we need alone time. We need the time to really go inside, you know. Mm-hmm. All of our answers are within. And if you don't go within, you go without. So we need time to isolate ourselves, to filter out all the rhetoric, to go within and to become in touch with our higher self. And when we come out of our cocoon, so to speak, and we go back into society, then the way that society is doing things won't impact us so much. And we will given it enough time to have a little bit of a shift, and I think that that's going to be important for all of us as individuals to embrace and to do that, so that we can come back and we can honor the spirit in the person that we're talking to, or in the spirit of the person that we're dealing with. And, you know, it's interesting because one of the religious belief systems out there, it's more of a way of life, et cetera, Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Buddha basically said that the God in me honors the God in you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think that transcends all religion. And we need to embrace more of that and live the golden rule of doing unto others and that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, in light of this perspective, and it really is a fabulous perspective, are you experiencing in your practice an increasing momentum in the people who visit you and their stress levels?
On one level, yes, and it's God's plan working itself out, and we need to embrace that. It's like, okay, if you're headed in a particular direction, and if you stay in that path, you're going to be well off the path where God would want us to be. To go back onto the path, it's going to be somewhat uncomfortable and somewhat stressful. And so mm-hmm. people come in and they say to me, I don't understand why these things are happening to my body. What can we do? And it's like, you know, you have to tear down an old tenement if you're going to put up a new beautiful building. And so part of the change is about tearing down and tearing away the old so that you can mm-hmm. create the space for the new to evolve and manifest.
Mm-hmm. And in light of this the changes that you're observing? Are you seeing changes in people's health issues?
Oh, always. And some are for the better and some are for the worse, depending upon where they are in their process of awakening. And when somebody comes in crisis, I know they're early on in their process of changing. And mm-hmm. when somebody comes in and they're starting to take responsibility for themselves and they're putting new, you know, methods of doing things and they're seeing the change within themselves, okay, those people are easy to support. You just, you know, keep the ball rolling, just keep it going kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But for those who are just starting to make dramatic change in their life, it can be somewhat traumatic and it can be somewhat unnerving. And my job is to reassure them that the right outcome will show up. You just got to mm-hmm. keep going.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that we've spoken about before is the autoimmune disorders, that today there seem to be many more autoimmune diseases that are being identified. Is that just because they're giving them names, or has there actually been a significant increase in these types of diseases?
Well, at the end of the day, what's causing the increase is the crap food and the chronicity of the effects leading to the body actually attacking itself. When your immune system can't repair itself in a normal fashion because the food that's coming in is being attacked by the immune system, and the building blocks that are being attacked are actually the building blocks that support rebuilding the immune system, well, then the immune system becomes corrupt.
Uh-huh.
And so if we put the right ingredients in the body, then the immune system won't have to attack those ingredients, and then the whole system can heal. And so we have to get away from the genetically modified organisms, and we need to understand what's being done to us, because they're not telling us that we're having genetically modified and artificial colors and sweeteners and preservatives and all of those things. They're not really telling us the negative effects that they create. So we need to become more mindful of that.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of negative effects, side effects from medications have been adding to some of the problems affecting people's health. So is there any way around the complicating effects of medications?
Simplicity-wise, Mark, stop
yeah.
taking them and address the real cause of the issue. You won't need the medications.
Mm-hmm.
And like we've said in the past, medication may act as a bridge to get you through your crisis, but don't let that become the long-term solution to your problem, because it's never going to be a solution. Use the medications to get out of crisis. Go to a practitioner who's going to address the cause, fix the cause, then you don't need the medication. Now, that's not a good rule of thumb for the pharmaceutical companies that financially benefit from making sure that everybody's on the medications, but at the end of the day, it's the right thing for human beings to do to help support humanity.
Well, certainly when you get down to it, the only place that healing happens is from God. So
yes,
even if you're taking the medications or anybody that you're going to, it's getting out of the way so the body can heal itself.
Exactly.
Now, we've talked before about the motivations of the food industry and health insurance and big pharma, and it seems that their stockholders are their main emphasis, not the people they're supposed to serve. So what is it that causes that sort of short-sightedness? Is it just greed?
It is greed, and it's just that simple. You know, one of the seven deadly sins happens to be greed. And so here we are, and we're looking at big corporations that all they're interested in is making as much money as possible and becoming the biggest conglomerate or whatever. And, you know, at the end of the day, we get excited when Amazon is a company that has a new headquarters in our backyards. And you know, I was up in New York last week, and I saw that basically because Amazon is coming in, that the property values in the area where they're going to put one of their main processing plants have gone through the roof overnight. And it's just like, okay, so everybody's getting on the gravy train of trying to make a profit over the mm-hmm. fact that a company's moving in. And what's that doing to the people? It's creating more stress for the people. And what's that going to do? Yeah. That's going to create more health issues.
Yeah. And I mean, another thing is we have so much emphasis on treating sickness. How is that affecting health?
Well, it's changing the focus from our birthright of being and expressing health as a natural byproduct of being human beings, and it's focusing on what we don't want, which is disease. And when we change the focus from health to disease, then everybody talks about the diseases. If we go back to focusing on health, then we can talk about health and what it takes to be healthy, and then people can start practicing good health. And guess what we'll have as an outcome, Mark?
Good health.
Yes, we'll have good health.
So everyone makes mistakes and accidents happen. So does taking time to reassess your actions and motivations, does that kind of a thing have a positive impact on your health?
Well, only if you do it, Mark. We as a society need to slow down and we need to think twice before we act so that we can become more conscious of our choices and stop leading lives by default. When we have an immediate reaction to something, that's your unconscious driving the bus. You don't want the unconscious where you store all of your negative emotionals and negative experiences driving the bus. So you need to stop. You need to let the initial thought of your unconscious go by. And then you need to look at the circumstances from a conscious perspective, and you need to take action from there. That's called a response versus a reaction.
Gotcha.
So we need to slow down how we deal with our society, and we need to stop. We need to think. We need to assess, and then we need to make the right choice.
Now, from the point of view of personal health, how important is it to be able to come to terms with your, in yourself?
Well, it's the only reason we are here as individuals, to discover and express who we are in the highest level of understanding as we acquire more understanding in which to apply to the never-ending journey of our soul, who has incarnated in physicality to play out literally, Mark, to play out the choices that we make. We're here. This is a playground, okay? We don't necessarily see it as a playground because we've been corruptly led in the wrong direction to where we're actually experiencing hell on earth when it should be heaven on earth.
And so if you're coming to terms within yourself, one of the things that you've come up with is some clear advice on the importance of setting goals for yourself. And is this your plan to succeed?
Well, if you define success as achieving a desired outcome through effort and determination, then yes, it's a plan to succeed.
And what I've found is that people have two different kinds of fear that people suffer from. One is the fear of failure, and the other, more problematic one, I think, is the fear of success.
Yes, people fear success far more than they fear failure because we are used to failing, and it's been labeled a failure from preschool. And it's like, you know, we try to accomplish something, and we get it wrong, and so there's a failure. So we try again, maybe, and we get it wrong a second time, but it's a different wrong than the first time, and so we consider ourselves a failure, and then we get adults that support us some way positively, some way negatively, and they'll look at us and they'll say, oh, you're so stupid, you can't get this done properly, what's wrong with you, blah, and you start to create that level of psyche. But if you take the adaptation of what Thomas Edison did when developing the light bulb, society even tried to impress upon Edison that you failed to over 10,000 times to create a light bulb, and Edison's perspective was no, I haven't failed, I've successfully defined 10,000 ways not to create a light bulb, and it's getting me closer to the goal of creating the light bulb.
That's
right. And guess what? Had he given in to society's pressures, we wouldn't be sitting in a room right now that has light.
And really, in reality, most people do want to succeed. So what is it that prevents people from getting from where they are to that success?
Well, failure to plan, Mark. People who fail to plan to fail, and it's really just that simple. And it's you know, you may think as the listener that I'm oversimplifying things, but I'm telling you, it just boils down to that. If you plan for success, you will find success. If you plan, if you don't plan at all, then you don't have any idea where you're going, and you're probably going to fail.
So making plans is for what you want to achieve in the next year is something that I know you recommend as a way of helping determine the outcomes that you want.
Yes, and it's the process of success and planning for it that is the choice we all get to choose. And I want to surround myself with people who practice and live the same way. And it makes for a stable, happy, prosperous community, even if big government doesn't want all of that for us, because they have a tendency to throw a lot of fear at us and tell us what's wrong and essentially try to keep us trapped in our houses, because there's so much negativity and so much death and destruction that goes on if you leave your house.
And many professionals and non-professionals do have a basic idea of what they want to achieve in their careers, and maybe they want to close more sales or earn a higher income or move to a different job. So how does that kind of goal setting relate to your health?
Well, essentially the same way. We want more energy. We want less weight. We want more muscle. We want less fat. We want more health. We want less disease. And if you don't put a plan into effect, another year will fly by, just like this one that we're ending up here. And next year, you'll have the same conversation with me, except you'll be a year older and a year further away from where you would have chosen to been had you gone through proper planning. And eventually, you get to the point where you just give up. And that's what happens. happens with some people. They're just like, you know what? All the times I've tried and failed, what's the point of trying anymore? I'm just going to give up. And then they live lives of quiet desperation. And I certainly don't want that for anybody.
Yeah. So really, the whole idea of the success comes from being able to plan. And you have put together a 10-step goal-setting method to help people succeed.
I do. And I think we should take a brief commercial break so that we can get into each of the 10 steps a little more in depth and expand upon each for our listeners. But first, I want you to listen to this commercial break from our generous sponsor, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to Spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. And the best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone. The cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please do not text that phone number because the phone does not receive texts. And if you're trying to communicate with me, you should talk to me because I will never respond to a text that I don't receive. If you like to do the texting thing, I would say to text my email, which is docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have. And today, Mark and I believe we're getting into the importance of goal setting. And I'm excited to go over this with you and the listeners, Mark. So where do you want to start?
Well, I know that, you know, part of what you do in your practice is help people understand and get past those unseen hindrances that prevent them from being able to reach their potential. So what are the methods that you use to guide people through this practice?
It's simple, Mark. It's all in the planning. Plan for success and experience success. We do the same thing with every patient. We have a specific recipe for each person who has a health challenge, and we work through the recipe one step at a time, just like you would do with goal setting. And so when you have a plan, when you can see what it is that we're going to do and what are the stops along the way, and you start to see those stops as you progress down the plan, then you develop the confidence that the plan is working. Why? Because it's almost like it's a foreshadowing of what's coming, and you get to see it as it happens, and then you feel like, well, wow, I must be on the right path because things are unfolding exactly how I thought they were going to unfold.
So this is sort of a 10 commandments of goal setting. So is it a list of thou shalt nots?
Oh, absolutely not, Mark. The word not is a strong manifester. Using not in a sentence actually pulls toward you the thing that you're saying not to. So we want to phrase our goals and desires in a positive, present tense as if they're already true to bring them to us in a faster manifestation.
Okay. So I know that, you know, I've heard like Jim Carrey put together that he wanted some big check, a multi-million dollar check before he achieved fame. And then he was able to get that. Does that kind of visualization work?
Oh, you'll have to ask Jim. And I'm going to say apparently it does because he was making $20 million a movie at one point
That's right.
Career. And, you know, so I'd say from an outside perspective, it must work. Go talk to Jim and find out how he felt about it.
I'll give him a call.
Yeah.
So, you know, writing down your goals and then concretizing them and putting them into specific terms is important. Should the goals be simply stated, or how should you express them? And do you need to write them down in the present tense?
Yes, as I just said, make them positive present tense as if they were true today to create the most amount of pulling power. And that's what we're trying to do, Mark. We're trying to pull you into your future, and we're trying to define clearly what that future looks like. And the more specific you get, the more powerful it's going to be. And we'll get into the other steps that are involved with it. But you want to create something that really is inspiring for you, that really excites you, that really motivates you. And we're going to talk about all the ways to get there. But yeah, the stronger, more powerful, and the more desirous and the more exciting a goal is, you know, it's like we just finished Christmas last week. And it's like, okay, what happened in the build up to Christmas? Okay, the kids were anticipating going downstairs or going into the living room, wherever you celebrate Christmas, and seeing all the toys. And, you know, they couldn't put their heads down, and they couldn't go to sleep, and they just had all this nervous energy over the anticipation of the goal of their gift showing up the way that they wanted, whatever their gift happens to be. And I think that we as adults need to cultivate and remember that kind of energy, how excited we used to get in anticipation of something. And that's where you, when you want to set a goal, you want to come from that perspective. You want to come from, this is going to be so exciting when this is true. And I promise you that Jim Carrey's multi-million dollar check that he wrote himself before he even got his first acting job excited him to the point where, I mean, he was just such an off-the-wall, bizarre personality. And I think that was the excitement coming out of him, because we've seen kids act the way that he's acted before. And it's just like, well, what is that? That's unbridled enthusiasm. And I think that's important as a motivator and as a foundational basis for manifesting your true desires.
It's so interesting. You know, you brought up the word enthusiasm. I just learned today that enthusiasm comes from the root entheos, or in God. So when you are filled with the excitement of that, you're filled with your own experience of God within.
Absolutely.
So let's take a look at those 10 commandments of goal setting. So what's the first one?
Well, you need to decide, you need to choose what it is that you want to accomplish, and you need to have what is the goal, what is the outcome, where is it that you want to go? You know, I want to go to Paris. Well, good. Let me start looking at pictures of Paris. Let me look into what it's going to cost to get a plane ticket or a boat ticket. Go with a plane. Get a plane ticket to fly to Paris, and what's going to be involved. And as we get into these goals, you have to have something that inspires you, that is the outcome that you're going to. So you need to decide specifically what you want to accomplish.
Well, that seems almost obvious. It's hard to reach a goal without an idea what the goals should be. So how specific? I mean, going to Paris is a specific place, but do you need to like attach a time to it or a length of visit? Or,
well, you want to be very specific. The more vague and non-specific it is, the harder it is for the universe or God to yield it to you. For example, I want to make more money. That's not a good goal, because theoretically making $1 more than the money that you're currently making, it does satisfy the situation, but $1 more isn't really going to make that huge of a difference in today's economy. So $1, that, again, it satisfies the goal, but it's not really making any big difference for you.
Yeah, and I guess you really do want to make a big difference. All right, so what's commandment number two?
Determine a deadline for accomplishing of our goal, because you need to have a deadline. Otherwise, it just becomes a wish that never manifests.
Mm-hmm. So it becomes more specific when you have a date put to it. But the thing is, nobody can really predict the future. So how can setting a date work in this context?
Well, in essence, you can predict the future. If you focus on something long enough and then you go into agreement with manifesting that, and the universe gets behind you and supports it. The law of manifestation says ask with feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Step two is the universe responds.
Mm-hmm.
Step three is receive. So you're in charge of asking with feeling and receiving, asking with feeling and receiving. But what goes on between the asking and the receiving? The manifestation. The universe has to respond.
Right.
Okay. So when you get really specific, okay, if you leave it open-ended, it has forever to show up. And let's say it's $10,000 by January 30th. Even if you miss the goal and only manifest $8,000, are you going to be upset, or are you going to plan better and become more specific?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good, good. All right, what's number three?
Well, determine that the goal is believable to you. This is a must. If you are asking for something that you don't believe is possible, it sends a message that is going to boomerang back on you that it isn't possible and nothing will happen. So make the goal realistic and make it at the end of what you believe to be possible, and then sit back and see what actually shows up.
Huh, so you need to have a goal that's believable. That's interesting that you would have to be able to believe it, because let's say you said, well, I want $1 trillion, and you don't believe you could ever have $1 trillion. It's pretty impossible.
You've
to get
already
to that.
Put out the energy that says, I don't think this is possible.
Right.
And that's the thing. The universe, God responds to the specificity and the believability. The first step of manifestation is ask with feeling. If you ask with a feeling of doubt, if you ask with a feeling of it's never going to happen, then what are you telling the universe, or what are you telling God?
It will never happen.
It's never going to happen. So then God brings you the it's never going to happen result.
And it's not your words that matter.
No, it's the feeling that matters.
Right.
So you want to be excited. You want to be that little kid mentality to where you're so excited over, you know, it's like there was a time when I was growing up as a kid where having a pony was very important for little girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they developed the toy My Little Pony kind of thing. And it's like, you know, because parents couldn't afford to go get a pony because ponies are expensive. I just asked my brother because he got a pony for his daughter. And it's like, you know, he actually rented a pony because owning a pony was too cost prohibitive kind of thing. But at the end of the day, you want to have the excitement of it being something that you can actually accomplish and can manifest and be excited about it. But if you set the bar so high that you look at it and you're just like, yeah, that's never going to happen, and that's the way that you're wishing for it with the background mentality that that's never going to happen, then, you know, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, the truth will out at that point, right? So what's number four?
Number four is evaluating where you are now. Understanding where you're starting from is important, and then you can measure your progress as you make progress, and this will keep you motivated until you accomplish your goal. But you have to know where you're starting from. It's kind of like a GPS. The GPS knows nowadays where you are because it registers where you are. But you remember the initial GPSs, you had to put in where you were starting from before it could tell you how to get to where you were going. So you need to have a good understanding of where you're starting from.
That's true in anything that you want to accomplish, really. I mean, having a starting place to the area that you've set your goal, if it's about money, you should honestly assess your financial situation as it is now. If you want to advance your career, you really need to recognize where you are today so you can start to map out a way to get to your objective.
Absolutely. And again, it motivates you to achieve your goal.
Mm-hmm. What's the fifth of these commandments?
Well, you need to appreciate what obstacles do you need to overcome. And this could be a financial obstacle, meaning the costs involved with your goal. It could be the people you need to know or to meet. It could be anything you currently don't have that's going to help you achieve your goal. And by identifying these things ahead of time and planning for how to meet those obstacles so that they are not obstacles at all is all the difference between achieving your goal versus not being defeated by the insurmountable barriers that get in the way of your goal.
And it's so true that so often in life what we experience as obstacles, they're not necessarily obstacles. They may be part of the pathway in order to get there. But to realize that there may be obstacles, it helps you to prepare that there may be, you know, potentially setbacks.
Right. And that was the mentality that Thomas Edison had. You know, again, we talked about how he, quote, successfully identified 10,000 ways not to get to his goal. He didn't see it as a defeat. He saw it as an outcome. And that outcome, learning from the outcome, motivated him to go, okay, well, let me attempt this again in a better way, knowing what I have experientially wise. Okay, I know what not to do. And if you know what not to do, you will eventually find exactly what to do, but you need to know what not to do before you can, you know, manifest what to do.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about him doing that, he would be, what material do you use and what shape should the material be and what would be the container for the material? And
right, so, and having prepared ahead of time for that allows it to be part of the process and not a hindrance.
Right, because he knew in advance that he had all these variables that he would have to face.
Right.
Well, this is a great conversation to have, Doc Rick, as we end the year. Before we continue with our conversation, we need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to get into the next five of these goal-setting commandments.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We're located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. The best way to get a hold of me would be to call me on my cell phone. It is this little gadget that I have in my hand as of right now. The best phone number for that, the only phone number for that, would be area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please do not text that phone, as the phone does not have texting capabilities and you will never get a response from me. But if you like to do the whole typing thing, you can type me into my email, which is docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have. Now, today, Mark and I have been talking about goal setting, and this is our year-end show, and we appreciate you taking the time to tune in, and hopefully you've learned some information in the first 5 steps of goal setting, but we need to give you the other 5, otherwise you may not be successful at setting goals. So.
Yeah, we need to know all the steps, don't we?
Absolutely.
So what is number 6?
What is number 6? What knowledge or material will you need to acquire in order to achieve your goal? And this is very important, Mark, because at face value, you've never achieved the goal before, so you should expect to require some new knowledge or some new skill along the way that enables you to achieve your goal. And this may be a new exercise or a new food processor or to make healthier food or new material or new learning as far as an understanding, taking a class or something like that, or a new introduction, meeting people that you don't know that have the experience or are already doing the goal that you want to achieve. So, you know, what kind of new acquisitions do you need to make that's going to support you in reaching your goal?
I mean, part of being in the context of wanting to find a new goal is that you don't necessarily know what that goal feels like to have it or what everything that's involved with it. So being in that place is where you can actually become creative because you're exploring things as they happen.
Absolutely, and it's like activating that excited little kid on Christmas morning, mm-hmm. energy within you, and the anticipation of unwrapping the gift and seeing the thing that you've wished for so much, and Santa was so nice to bring it to you because you must have been a good little boy or a good little girl for that to manifest, and it's just having that level of excitement associated with what it is that you're trying to manifest.
It is so much in that anticipation that it happens there.
Right.
So what's number 7?
Number 7 is what organizations or groups should you associate with? This can help. This is similar to 6, but it's a little bit different. This can help make the heavy lifting easier, as groups of people who know how to do something already can make your process easier. Having a cheering section along the way who will celebrate in your minor victories is important and necessary to keep you going. Offering encouragement to you when things are tough is also important. And again, affiliating with people who know how it's done and who are already living the outcome that you would choose to live, and just being around those kinds of people, it kind of rubs off on you, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and right association is such an important idea. When you spend people who can help you move towards that goal versus people who'll distract you from it, or that can make a huge difference.
It can make a huge difference. And being around others positively predisposes you to your objective and will keep you on track even when you encounter unexpected challenges.
That's really good. That's really good. So what is the eighth commandment of goal setting?
Well, what are the benefits to you? How will you benefit? What will change for the better by achieving your goal? If it is weight loss, how will your health improve? How will your self-image, other aspects of your life if your goal is achieved? And these are important to consider as it gives you something to strive for and keeps you motivated. And, you know, it's like, all right, you can get overwhelmed with your initial goal is I want to lose 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the 50 pounds may seem daunting at first, but what is 50 pounds divided up into?
Well, if you divide it by, let's say, if you were trying to do it in a year, that would be a pound a week almost.
Or, right. And so you're starting to get the idea. It's like, all right, it's 50 units of one.
Right.
Okay. So 1 pound doesn't seem so daunting, even
right.
if 50 pounds does. But you're not losing 50 pounds. You're losing 1 pound 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it seem more palatable and seem more realistic. And those are aspects that we talked about earlier on.
Mm-hmm. So not only do you imagine that final destination, but you also... There are other advantages along the way in reaching your goal. I mean, if your goal is to lose 50 pounds and let's say you lose 25, there's a real sense of accomplishment as you've gotten to that halfway part.
Oh, absolutely. And again, it goes back to understanding, well, what are the benefits to you? And what you need to understand is your goal may only be exciting to you.
Mm-hmm.
So part of goal setting is you need to really get grounded in what your goal is going to be, and you don't necessarily want to share what your goal is initially with the people closest to you because they may look at you and they may talk you out of it. They may say, oh, you're never mm-hmm. going to accomplish that. I know you. You're not being realistic now. Don't be mm-hmm. foolish. Don't try to start on something that you're never going to finish because that's just a waste of time. Those are the kind of people you want to stay away from.
Those naysayers.
Now,
yeah.
When you've accomplished 25 pounds lost out of 50, and the people that are the naysayers normally look at you and they say, wow, you look really good. What have you been doing? Have you lost weight? Then you can start to say, yeah, I've lost weight. You know, it's like I know lots of people who have lost lots of weight, and it's always nice for them to hear somebody notice the change that they've experienced. And
mm-hmm.
so you want to appreciate what's going on with all of that and not let somebody, you know, be the damp towel to put out your flame kind of thing.
Right, right. And the fact that there are benefits along the way of getting there. I mean, if you are trying to do something new that you've never done before and you're going through the process of learning it, that's something that every time you go, if let's say you're taking a class, maybe you wanted to learn pottery or something like that. And as you become more adept at it, as you're learning, there's a sense of accomplishment all along the way.
Absolutely.
So, okay, so that's eight. What's number nine?
Well, you want to develop an action plan, the exact steps necessary from your goal backwards to where you are starting from. This reverse engineering your process allows you to determine what must occur before this is true and then go and work on making that step true. So it's kind of like, all right, well, if I want to have $100,000 in a bank account that's free and clear from all government hands and issues and all of that, it's like, okay, well, what needed to get deposited into the bank account before I had $100,000?
Right. You need to figure out all the things
right.
that you
and
have
then
to pay on the
what
bank.
You can do is you need to also understand, all right, well, what kind of increments can I put it in the bank and how many months is it going to take or how many weeks or how many years is it going to take in order to manifest into the $100,000? And, you know, that's what financial planners are very good at doing is mapping out a course and a plan of action in terms of how we're going to assess your goal. And that would be a good goal for everybody to do this year is to sit down with a financial planner and discuss where you're at. And don't be embarrassed by where you're at because you're not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just where you're starting from. And, you know, it's ideal that we all start to save for our retirement when we first get out of high school, but not everybody's in a position to do that. Not everybody's thinking in that regard, but that's a good plan to have. But now if you're 55 and you're thinking, you know, I got to put in 10 more years and I need to retire, but I haven't put any money aside for retirement, okay, well, now you're going to have to go at a higher pace than somebody who's got, you know, 40, 50 years in front of them in which to plan for it.
Sure, sure, sure. And working with experts in their various fields. I mean, like in the other example that I gave about learning pottery, if you're working with somebody who knows how to do it, you're working with an expert in that field. So part of the planning and developing that action plan can also be to find out who are the people that you need to consult with that can help you into achieving your goal.
Right. And foreseeing some of the steps that you'll be taking before you take them, and what you do when you encounter the unexpected, is if you incorporate all that into your plan and see the unexpected as a blessing that you didn't think about, it's all part of the clarifying of your life. And it is your life, so you might as well enjoy it, you might as well embrace it, and you might as well accept it as part of God's plan for you.
So that's great. So we've got nine. We got one more to go. What's the 10th final commandment?
Well, you need to do what Jim Carrey did very well, and you need to visualize yourself accomplishing the goal. Be in your outcome as it is achieved. What are you doing? What are you being? What are you having? And most importantly, what are you feeling now that your goal has been accomplished? And so if you can get all of that down, and again, the feeling part of it is most important, but you know, I'm a visual person, so I need to see it. There are some people who are more auditory. They need to hear it. Whatever the case happens to be, but what is the feeling upon it? Okay, I had a goal when I was 39 years old, actually when I was 5 years old, that I accomplished when I was 39. When I was 5 years old, I became obsessed with Porsche 911 turbos.
Okay.
And I bought one. I paid cash for, out of the showroom, a brand new Porsche 911 turbo. And every single time that I get into my car, I get that same exhilaration of having manifested my goal. And here it is. It's 18 years removed from when I achieved that goal, but the car looks as pristine as it did the day that I bought it, and I get the same exhilaration every time I get in it. And it's, you know, I just keep practicing that feeling, and it's the feeling that pulls you through. And so that's what I want the listeners to take away from this.
I mean, and that's so true, that the feeling is, you know, what are we trying to do? We're trying to feel happy. We're trying to feel good. So the goals then are almost secondary, or achieving the goals are almost secondary, because if you have the feeling good, like the child anticipating Christmas is already in the feeling good state.
Right. And so it goes back to what we've all learned, that life is a journey. It's not a destination. And once you've achieved your destination, then you're going to come up with something new to move towards and continue your journey.
Now, one of the things we didn't talk about in all this goal setting, is it important to write these steps down? Is it important to be able to document what you're doing?
Oh, I would definitely think so, because what you're doing is you're getting a measuring stick, if you will, of what it is that you're accomplishing and what goal that you're, what step you're on within your goal setting. It's interesting. There's a gentleman that appears on after my show, I think he appears on after my show, but he's the guy, I can't remember his name right now off the top of my head, but he's the guy that teaches people how to financially plan for their success. And he's got a whole book and a whole series of stuff, and baby steps and this and that. And what step are you on? When they call into his show and they're asking questions, they'll say, well, I've completed baby steps 1 through 3, and I'm working on baby step number 4 kind of thing. And it's like having those steps mapped out for yourself and writing them down, and when you've accomplished them, that's part of the whole goal setting and the goal manifestation process.
Okay, that's really good. Well, let's go back over and let's just review back what these 10 steps are, if we could.
Absolutely.
Number one
is you want to decide what you want to accomplish, and you want to be as specific as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Write that down.
Absolutely. And number two, you want to determine a deadline for accomplishing of your goal and make sure that it's kind of realistic. You know, you're not going to manifest $1 million overnight, so don't try to think that you fail because you asked for $1 million and you didn't receive it in the morning when you woke up, kind of thing. So the third step is determine what the goal is and that it is believable to you, because if it's not believable to you, if $1 billion isn't believable to you, then you're probably not going to accomplish that. But maybe $1,000 is, and you need to start with $1,000 before you can get $1 billion anyway. So it's like, all right, well, now that I've manifested $1,000, well, good. Now I'd like to go to $2,000. Or I'd like to go to 10,000. And it's like, that's how you build on things, and that's important. Number four, where are you now? What are you starting from? Well, I have $20 in my bank account. Well, good. I want it to be $1,000. All right. So I'm starting at 20. That means I need $980 in order to get $1,000 in my bank account. Okay, good. So, all right. So now I know how far I have to go, and I can plan out a map accordingly to that. What obstacles do you need to overcome? Well, I tend to spend money as fast as I make it, and I never put any aside. Well, I need to change my behavior as far as that goes. maybe I don't need to go out every Friday night and you know, drop $200 at the bar if I want to start saving $1,000 kind of thing. And so be aware of what your behaviors are and what your obstacles are, and you need to overcome them. What knowledge or material will you need to acquire in order to achieve your goal? That's number six. And that's very, very important. You may need to get some more education in order to understand it. And that could be hanging out with people who already have that education that you can just learn directly from them. Then it doesn't feel like you're joining a class or whatever. And that kind of bleeds into number seven. What organizations or groups should you associate with that have the understanding that you're trying to acquire, and learn from them and put those steps into action? And they may be able to help you understand how to streamline, or they may actually help you do some of the heavy lifting yourself, because that their goal is to be a provider of these kinds of services and goods, so you can use their services and they've worked out all the bugs and kinks. Number eight, what are the benefits to you? You need to make it powerful, present tense, but you need to understand what your benefit is from achieving the goal. What is you going to do with that $1,000 that you have in a bank account? Well, I'm going to make it $2,000, then I'm going to make it $10,000, then I'm going to make it $100,000, then I'm going to be, you know what? Now I can retire because I have enough money in which to live off of, because I've worked hard in order to make sure that that happens. Develop an action plan. Like I said, with the action plan, you want to reverse engineer it. What needs to occur the step before you achieve your goal? What needs to occur before that step? What needs to occur before that step? And you want to reverse engineer that all the way back to where you're starting from. So it's like you're putting aside $20 a week, or you're putting aside $20 a day, and you'll eventually get to that $1,000 goal. And at the end of the day, you want to visualize running down and to all the Christmas presents Christmas morning and ripping off the wrapping paper and seeing the thing that you've wanted more than anything in the world, and activate that kid mentality within you and the excitement associated with it, and visualize yourself accomplishing the goal and being a champion and standing at the top of the mountain and cheering for yourself and all the other people that supported you along the way also cheering for you. And those are your 10 steps, Mark.
Well, that's really good. Now, I think because our show is called When Your Health Matters, I think clearly any of these goals that you set out for yourself that you can achieve is going to have a positive impact on your life. But if you were particularly focused on a health goal, let's say you had some kind of health challenge that you were dealing with, and you wanted to move away from the health challenge and into becoming healthy, are these same steps the steps that you need to take on that regard?
They are the same steps that you will need to take with the regard, but you're going to need to find a health advocate or a health coach or somebody who can help support you along the way, because they have the knowledge base that you're going to need in order to achieve a thing called better health. And you're going to need to know, well, what are the steps in order to do that? And if you find the right healthcare practitioner, okay, they will help you achieve that. But what you should do is you should go into them, and during the consultation, you should tell them what your health goals are if they don't automatically ask you those questions. I ask people in my consultation, well, what is your goal for being here? What is your health goal? What is it that you want to accomplish with your health? And I help them work out a plan that's going to get them there. And I'm the one who does all the heavy lifting as far as that goes, as far as the planning goes. But they're the one who does all the heavy lifting in terms of the changing in their behavior and the changing of their habits and developing the new habits.
So that's that. I mean, which is kind of step six, which is what knowledge or material we need to acquire in order to achieve your goals. But now,
and it's also joining, quote, my organization in order to use my expertise in which to get there.
That's right. That's right. And that's actually going in front of the goal. I mean, you kind of know what your goal is, but in order to accomplish it, you need that help and that guidance. So there can be, as you mentioned, financial goals. You may want to work with a financial provider in order to do that. And for your health, somebody might want to contact you and deal with their health issues. So if they do want to make that contact with you, what's the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me is to call this little contraption that I'm holding in my hand called my cell phone. It's the best way to get a hold of me, short of walking into my office and having a face-to-face with me. But if you want to talk to me on the phone and you want to get some more information or understanding, or just introduce yourself to me, because lots of times people do that, the best way is to call the cell phone. It's area code 845. As a cell phone, it is just it's a different area code, but it's a local call. Area code 845-561. 2225. Again, 845-561-2225. If you don't want to call me and you want to text me. Don't text me because my phone doesn't receive texts. But you can use the texting abilities to email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. We got a new year coming. I want it to be the most successful year you've ever had with your health, with your life. I'd like to be your coach and be in your corner and be your health advocate and be your health facilitator to help you to better health. It's your most important asset. You need to put the most amount of time, energy, and effort into it if you want to achieve it, and I'd be happy to assist you in that regard. So please tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon wishing you a very happy new year. We'll talk to you again next year when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath, and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects, you mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously you need a pill, you know how one is best. The thing is there might be some side effects. Oh, I'd heard that before. I've been rushing back to the doctor. He said, are you looking for more? On top of that, 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 on top of that. I grabbed him by the stethoscope. I said, doctor, the reason I came, I'm wise to your little game. You and the pharmaceuticals and your medical...